to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. He's Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures is speeds are down 7. NASDAQ futures down 184. Dow futures up 189. Crazy day like yesterday, which we will certainly talk about here at length. Brendan, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well this morning, Chief. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Did you get the call from Pfizer? Let them know what about the...
You know, I thought that was very interesting on several fronts. Well, but of course, there are two things. Is it Pfizer or is it Biden being called as a president of the United States, president-elect of the United States, to cause a run-up in the market?
Well, I think
we'll never know.
Yes, they had to do with Pfizer because...
I know.
Because, I mean, you had your individual stocks. The day was bizarre in the NASDAQ, which I'm going to go through because, I mean, we did... God, I did so much trading yesterday. It was scary. We were... We have a huge client that has... Well, a lot of we're doing some interesting stuff with them, but I won't go into it. Basically, we're doing the flip of the protected index program. We're buying calls, selling the futures, and selling puts because you get a little more volatility kick in the puts than you do with the calls. But it's somewhat.
I thought it was very interesting on a couple of points. First, that the vaccine approval or their standard of being 90% effective came out just over the weekend after the election. Rather than before the election, from a timing standpoint. So I thought there'd be a lot more ranting and raving about that from the White House, and another reason to make sure that Trump gets reelected now, to justify his reelection. And second, the other thing that I found really interesting is that if you've watched the news programs over the last 6 to 8 months, one of the primary spokespeople who talks about the vaccine and who talks about the condition of the coronavirus around the country is Scott Gottlieb, who used to be with the FDA under the Trump administration. But he has periodically, in his talk, said, by the way, in full disclosure, I'm a board member of Pfizer. So, you know, here's one of the leading spokesmen is on the board of Pfizer, and yet now we have the news about the Pfizer vaccine.
As Mr. Weber and I were discussing on the way in, after I learned all about their... What do you think of a softball team that in single elimination manages to lose two games?
Ah!
That's what we were saying.
Yeah.
We at least did that.
So you're out? You guys are out?
We're out. Yep.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, we had a solid season for a lot of our guys. It was our first time playing and real good athletes, but there's a difference between being a good athlete and being a good softball player. And so we got better as the season went along defensively. And then we kind of imploded last night, but a lot of fun, and we'll be back.
It's like Greg Luzinski when he was talking about good athletes. He goes, good athletes, I'm not an athlete, I'm a baseball player.
Exactly right. There's a big difference. There really is.
Except for the fact that when Greg Luzinski was 30 years old, I bet you put him on a basketball court or a football field, and he's the best person in either one of them.
Oh, absolutely. I know. It was kind of odd. He never thought of himself as an athlete because he's a baseball player. Because he was another one who said, he was surprised one time when he had to go on the injured list because he said it was a pulled muscle. It was pulled muscle. I pull fat. I don't pull muscle.
Yeah, I think there's one guy you wouldn't want to mess with. He wasn't called a baby bull for nothing.
That's right. He was a big boy and he was pretty strong.
Yeah, I don't. Brendan, as you watch this stuff and again, Manny and I were talking to this. I don't want an umpire giving the other guys calls, and I don't want them giving me calls. And I will say this, as much as everybody knows now that I'm in the middle, as much as I booed the man when he sung the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field 20 years ago, Donald Trump, the idea that these people think they're news, now this head of Pfizer, Manny's going to dig out the article. You probably got it, Brendan, if you can. I can't find it because my favorites all got erased, but I suppose I could find it, but I will one of these days. But the idea that these guys didn't have, I mean, first of all, just saying there's no peer review on this thing, right? If they think it's working, mm-hmm. the idea to proclaim 90% efficiency, they essentially gave either placebos or this vaccine to what, 44,000 people,
and they're, yeah, that's the number I saw,
and they're just out there,
mm-hmm.
and they're waiting for the people who didn't get the vaccine or did get the vaccine to make it to like 160 cases. And it appears that the people who got the placebo are up to 64 cases, and the other side has, well, if it's 90% effective, they must be up to what, 6? Something mm-hmm. like that. Oh, that number wasn't in there. So it's not like, what do they call it when they actually are going to give the people COVID and see if they get it. I mean, nobody's going to do that, right? Even though the guy who invented the smallpox vaccine did that with his son for some reason. I don't know if he didn't like his son or what, but yeah, it was a, so you don't, there's a name for that, Brennan, where you actually
get. Yeah, I know. I can't think of what it is right now, but
nobody does.
Part of the peer review process where they specifically inject the test subjects with the virus.
Yeah, and like no, and it's considered medical blasphemy. I mean, nobody does that anymore. I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that. So anyway, so it appears to be effective. So according to these guys, but they're acting no peer review yet, small numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we all hope it's a winner, right? We obviously
mm-hmm.
and two shots. And it doesn't appear to have any side effects. That's from what the articles I read last night in preparation for this, that's what I found pretty much all over the place. Now, if that's what you found, but
yep,
now,
that's what I've been reading and what I've been hearing.
So now the chairman of Pfizer comes out, and he's one of these, it's one of these firms I think were the first to go offshore for their taxes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I happen to know from a client, this is weeks ago, that they were buying up every piece of concrete they could in the Grand Rapids area for a building that was going to be where they were going to make the vaccine and needed to, I don't know if they got to keep it frozen or 40 degrees or whatever, but this was going to be the refrigerator.
70 degrees below zero centigrade.
That's pretty cold.
Yeah, that is.
So anyway, they were building this building to be able to do that. So the idea that these guys couldn't have made this announcement a week ago is such crap. You know, whether they thought of it or not, I don't know. I don't take anything right now in the political money world that we're in, Brendan, as a circumstance. I don't. I mean, Curly and the Three Stooges would be right at home today. I'm a victim of circumstance. Right? I mean, so I'm just saying. So these guys, then they come out yesterday, and all they did was talk all day long about they have taken no federal money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so. And we're going to find this article. There were seven firms, I believe seven, it might have been six, but I believe seven from my memory, that essentially got money from the government to start producing doses, even though their product didn't work. This is called Warp Speed.
Operation Warp Speed.
So the idea was that if somebody got something approved on Thanksgiving Day, you could start shooting people basically that on Black Friday, right?
Yep.
And it's with all the other money they basically pissed away, it's probably not a bad idea. I'm not criticizing that, but they got seven companies. And if you got the brain of a gnat, if you read the numbers, I'm going to say three or four of the companies got research money from the government. All right, now Pfizer is bleating like a hog that they didn't get any research money and they did it all on their own. That's such BS. Because here's the deal: if you said it's Brendan and Maddie's firm, we need money for research, and you sold your story through a lobbyist or however you did it, they gave you $400-500 million for research. But then for the 100 million doses that they're paying you for to start with them, you got like $10 a dose.
Mm-hmm.
If you did the research yourself,
and all money is fungible, so the money that they're getting to do the distribution can also be used for research. So
well, not what I'm saying. There was a difference in timing because they gave you the research money earlier, so there was mm-hmm. some difference. But now these guys are saying they didn't take a dime. Well, the people who didn't get the money for research are getting like $15 to $20 a dose. So it's all coming out the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got say $600 million for research or $500 million, they're giving you $9 to $11 a dose for 100 million doses. Comes out to like $1.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you didn't take the money, they're giving you $15 or $16 a dose. It's coming out to $1.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that you're going to go on worldwide TV and say you didn't take a dime, it's all on you, such crap, brother. Well, how do these people? They obviously didn't have the same nuns I had in fourth and fifth grade. I mean, they clearly didn't.
Nor me.
Yeah, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, how many fat people can dance on the head of a pin? I mean, for God's sake. Maddie, how many can?
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, good question. I mean, you listen to this stuff and you just go, wait a minute. I mean, they obviously, and then the thing that insults you is how stupid do they think I am? And all mm-hmm. of us are. And their view of the rest of us must be, I mean, even, you know, I keep picking on them, but you get, you know, the people who come into office here in Illinois, Jay, Lori, Tony, whoever else might be around there, they all of a sudden, they can't, they spit out of a neighborhood just like you and me and Maddie and the listeners, and all of a sudden, we can't handle the truth and they can. What just happened to you to elevate you to a god here? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, I doubt that you and I have come from the same type of a neighborhood as J.B. Pritzker.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if you have, I never asked you, how many siblings do you have?
I have none. I'm an only child.
So just say you did. Now, I have one, and we're very tight. The chances of me, if we had the dough, popping up like $500 or $50 million to pass a bill, and my brother or sister spending another $50 million to quash the bill, and then maybe having Thanksgiving together. Can you even imagine that from the South Side?
No, I cannot. That's why I said we're not from the same neighborhood.
So what do you think, Manny? If you and Clay, if you started supporting Biden and throwing like $30 million of your mom's money in there, and all of a sudden Clay's taking the other $30 million and supporting Trump.
Well, the Ricketts did that.
Well, yeah, that's another. There's another.
It sounds like the Ricketts.
Yeah, well, I'm saying those are the two.
And the Ricketts family.
Those are the two most dysfunctional families. I mean,
probably like that with a lot of rich families.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I agree. I think it's pretty common among rich families.
Well, here's one of the things I mentioned it before, and we'll talk more about the market because I want to tell everybody about his NASDAQ yesterday. Wow. What I don't like, and I don't understand why people. Well, I'm going to ask you. I'll ask Maddie because he's obviously very much younger. Why don't younger people have some respect for the decision making process that people have been dying for since the Magna Carta? I mean, if you ask people around the Pritzker shutting this down or shutting that down, whatever it is, or the bump in Michigan or the bump in Wisconsin. I mean, it's way past 30 days. It's not a crisis. It's been sitting here for, might be a crisis, but it's been sitting here for damn near a year now. We're way past not being able to go to the legislature and getting these laws, the new fines they're putting on people from being open. This isn't a dictatorship. And yet, you can ask anybody you want. Younger's, I'll say worse. Well, what's the problem? Why can't he do that? If he thinks it's safety, he should be able to do whatever he wants. No, there's a process here. Otherwise, everything would be safety. I mean, everything the Nazis did was for your own good, right? For your safety. I mean, there needs to be, why is it that, I'm not Mr. Slave on processes, but there's a reason for this. There's a reason why you have a Congress, why you have a state legislature. If they go along with the guy, okay, maybe you can vote them out next time or whatever it is. But how is it people don't have any idea? I'm thinking, Brendan, we can get rid of the jury system here within the next year and just have somebody tweet out who they think is guilty or not and everybody jump behind it and just, we can get rid of all the expense and we'll never have jury duty again. Where am I wrong?
I sense a soapbox here.
Well, I mean, why is it still, and was it the judge here in Illinois? Somebody said that Pritzker's, all the latest declarations are no good because they're after 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So they appealed the decision. They must have gone to a judge they liked. He said, no, it's the right thing to do. Therefore, the 30 days don't count. How the hell is that law, Brennan?
I'm not going to get into a long discussion on the legalities. I have that quite often here with Val and with a few other folks about why things seem incongruent with legal decisions. And each state has different laws that apply to this, and you've got to look at the reason for each law. I think that the allowance of a governor or the mayor in the city of Chicago to make rules for a period of time in an emergency is a recognition that the process, the legislative process, takes time. And sometimes, in certain circumstances, that would be too long to deal with the immediate crisis.
Understand.
And so that's why the powers are vested in the elected leader, whether it's the mayor, the governor, or the president. And the problem with that is that temporary period of total control in the hands of one person has a time limit, or should have a time limit, when the emergency goes away. But you can't really quantify it necessarily by 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, because you don't know how long there are different types of emergencies, whether it's a virus coming through, or it's a war erupting someplace, or like the 9/11 attack. So there has to be a leeway. Instead of saying a week, 30 days, 6 months, what have you, it has to be a little more nebulous.
Well, it has to be some common sense to it. After this thing started, I'm going to say in February, is there any reason why the legislature can't meet this week if you need them?
No.
Well, then it's not an emergency anymore.
Well, by the time they would take the action, the process could be worse. I'm telling you what the explanation is. I'm not justifying it. I'm trying to explain to you what the process is to allow it for him to be there in 30 days. And usually it would be deemed by a court. The question for a court is this a reasonable period of time to deal with the situation before it can go through the legislative process?
Well, I'm saying is you could have the legislature, you could have them meet this weekend. There's nothing that says they can't meet. If they could meet, if they were all dead or something, I'm with you. But they're not. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where's the crisis that they can't meet and say yes, go ahead and do it?
I'm not going to justify how they can or can't do it, but I understand your point that after a certain time period, that duty goes away because the exigency of the emergency has passed, or some other action should be taken.
Well, in my definition of the emergency, I need to do something before I can use the process. And if all of a sudden every legislator is in the hospital, well, and I'm not, or even if I am, if I'm up and if I'm at least moving around, I'm with you, Brendan. I'm not against any of this stuff. But we're clearly at any level way past that.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly there has been enough time for the U.S. Congress to meet and for the Illinois legislature and the legislature in other states to meet as well.
I will bet you that, and I don't know who could figure this out, Jan Flanagan maybe, I'll bet you that in the last 90 days, our useless city council has voted each other zoning variations equaling 500 in the last 90 days.
Well, there have been some meetings. I know there have been some city council meetings. I don't think that there's been very much in the legislative sessions in Springfield. We know Congress has met from time to time to handle any emergency situations.
All right, let's talk about the NASDAQ. Yesterday, Brendan, I don't know if you're listening to the show, but Manny and I were, the market obviously was huge up, and the Dow was up 1,500 mm-hmm. points. I'm going to say the S&P was up 150 or some massive number. And the NASDAQ was up 145, almost right with it. And I'm doing the show, and all of a sudden you see the NASDAQ draining a little bit. All of a sudden it goes negative. And on one of the breaks, it goes negative 135 points. So that's a 270-point move in maybe, Matty, 5 minutes? Four? And then we come back for break, it starts going positive, and it's by the next break, it's back up 140. So it's down 270 and back up 270 during the show between two breaks, so 15 minutes. I'm like, what the bleep, over? I've seen a lot of stuff, Brendan. I've been here a long time, but I'm thinking this, as you say, the screen floor, this crap is moving. But the other stuff, the spiders are fine. I mean, the whole world's convinced that this is, you know, they're being sold on a, so American Express is up like 20%, and every company that's had a problem, you know, with this is up to the moon, yet every company that is wobbling a little bit, that's the stay-at-homes, the Netflix, the Amazon, those kind of places, Snap, they're all kind of down some. So the NASDAQ is wobbling some in the midst of this. The Dow is clearly the strongest. So then as the day wears on, I mean, I got these positions with this guy that is so far wrong in the money that I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. So all morning I did spread after spread after spread. I said, you know, I'm along these 80 calls against the Qs that are like 295 or some incredible number, 297. I said, I can't be along these things. So I buy the 90s, sell the 80s. I just go through a whole list. We did probably 20 trades, fixing, adjusting this account somewhere back into where we're in the, you know, on the right planet. All of a sudden, the NASDAQ starts to drop like a stone. It goes from up, it was up like two something at one point, I think, and it goes down like 400 points. No, it was up 150. It's down like 250. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now the Qs are actually down on the day. So the calls I ended up buying are now out of the money. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, where the market was so bifurcated, then of course it started to dribble down the rest of the market, because the S&P's, the spider, was up 16 points at one time, and I think it finished up $4.95 or something, $4.95. Anyway, after being up 16 bucks, I mean, I've never seen a thing up 16 bucks before, and it finished up like $4.95, and this morning it's down a buck now. What do you think? Either people have started to realize this is a year away. I mean, what are we doing here, Brennan? And I noticed that as people are concerned about the virus. I mean, so I spent many hours this weekend digging through the history of the 1918 virus. Figured, okay, whatever happened to this thing? Okay, everybody talks about it, obviously, and it killed more people than bubonic plague, right? I mean, it was about as brutal as it gets. I mean, Frank lost an aunt and somebody else in his family to it. His, you know, his parents tell him, or did tell him. So, I mean, this was a brutal thing. It's the H1N1. Well, what happened was, is what happens to a lot of viruses, and that wasn't a COVID. It was more of a flu virus, and I know I'm not a germologist, but it's not the same as a COVID. But anyway, the thing is very contagious. Everybody's croaked. I mean, it's bad. So the thing on its own, viruses tend, not all the time, I mean, I don't think measles or those things have changed much, but tend to, if you kill a host, you don't get anywhere as a virus, right? So they tend, the ones that are a little weaker and maybe more contagious tend to win out in the mutations versus the ones that kill you on sight, because they can't go anywhere. They just get buried along with you. So they tend to weaken, can tend to weaken. So in the one there, by 1920, had weakened at a point where so many people were getting it, but not dying, and they were developing immunities toward it. They ended up with this herd immunity eventually. Well, with the herd that was left, because half the herd was gone. So it was not a pretty situation. So they actually had a couple of companies that were all over trying to find a vaccine, and as the thing essentially flared out, were left high and dry with their vaccine, with their research, and never completed any of this stuff. But now that the H1N1 has not ever really died, it's been around, and the 68 flu, the 51 flu, there's about eight different ones. The 68 one I remember, because I was in high school and half the place was empty, right? I mean, I'm sure you remember that one. Nothing closed, but it might as well have. Actually, I think Mount Carmel closed. Yep. I think Mount Carmel did close, John Flanagan said, but Marist didn't. We just had 20 people where there should have been 40. I don't think I got it. If I did, it wasn't that bad anyway. But I don't think it was all that fatal, at least to people in high school. Who knows how many people died that were older. But the thing is essentially still around, and once in a while comes back in a little tougher version, and we have trouble with it. But it essentially went away sort of on its own, or weakened at a point. Now, everything you read or hear about this current virus, because I've had, unfortunately, some recent experience with it myself, is everybody, I've talked to three or four doctors, every one of them tells me that for some reason in the last 2 to 3 weeks, more people are testing positive than ever have, and yet very few people are sick. So they told me they didn't realize, they don't know if it was, there's a cold going around, and a couple of the colds are COVID colds. Most colds are not, but there's a couple that are. Now, they're not COVID-19, but they are COVID, whatever. I don't know what makes something COVID or not, but in either that these tests have gotten so sensitive that the cold is tripping the test, or the virus is just weakening because people are testing positive way more than they have, and they're not sick at all.
Well, I think we're going to have another example of that in a couple of weeks because, by the way, congratulations on Notre Dame upsetting Clemson the other night. However, it could turn into be a super spreader event after looking at what happened on the field.
I'm thinking it
with
will
the
not.
Football team in the middle of that crowd after already losing a game to COVID earlier in the season. It'll be very interesting to see if they even get a chance to reprise 1993 and playing Boston College this week or finishing the rest of their season after that event. But that was an amazing game, the double overtime, but then I was just shocked at the way they all stormed the field.
Brendan, these young people, they don't get sick. There's the last thing I've got crossing my desk. 70,000 people tested positive in the top 50 colleges in the country in the first however many months of this year. 3 hospitalizations, no deaths. I mean, how much can you tell somebody 18 to be afraid of something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You and I would have been on the field.
Oh, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be on the field in a situation like that. My point is that it's going to be pretty likely that a number of COVID positive tests spike at Notre Dame campus between now and Thanksgiving, and that could impact Notre Dame's football team playing again, because even if they don't get sick, the fact that a number of the players have COVID will put them into a protocol where they won't be able to play for a week or two.
I mean, I guess if what I'm saying is true, or what I'm hearing is true, at some point, somebody's got to make a call, Brendan. I don't know if we're there yet, but if it degenerates to being a tough form of the common cold for most people, somewhere you can't be announcing that Joe Jamolk in Idaho tested positive for COVID. Who cares? Right?
Well, I think the real test is going to be what are the hospitalizations, because in the last couple of weeks, the hospitalizations in many states and many areas have gone up.
Yes.
And people have been very sick. I know of a couple of people who have been hospitalized with severe illnesses in the last couple of weeks, and they're people of different ages. And I think that's, you're right that the mortality rate is much lower now than it was in the springtime, which goes to better treatment. But the fact that more people are being hospitalized now than were a few weeks ago or a month ago.
I know somebody young.
A dangerous sign.
I know somebody young who was just getting over to COVID, had the antibodies and everything, and made it through pretty easily. And all of a sudden, at the very tail end, caught strep throat and they're in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you get anything else with it, that's not good. And there's other stuff mm-hmm. popping up now. I did hear one real quick before we let you go. One of my friends, he's a little older. He's older. He might be almost as old as you, Brendan. you and I are the same age exactly, aren't we? I think so.
I think we're a year apart. I think you're the older guy. You're my mentor and the guy that I look up to. I want to be like you when I grow up.
Well, whenever I mention something about hospitals get money for saying something's COVID. Anyway, his friend is a guy with cancer, and he's circling the drain basically. He's in the hospital. Nobody can go see him, right? Not the guy. Of course, they want to go see him. They can't go see him. Finally, he's got like a couple days left. So they say, screw it, we're going to get him. We put a hospital bed in the house. We'll let the poor guy die at home, right? Which is, I think the right thing to do. They go get him. He comes home. At least he's around his family. Dies in a couple days. The hospital doesn't say boo about COVID to anybody in the house. They get the death certificate, cancer and COVID. So they what, earn them 20%?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brendan... There needs to be some morality someplace here. If the guy had the COVID, he at least should have told the family, don't you think?
Yeah, if he had it, he should have been told.
And if he didn't, it's got no business on that death certificate. So what do you figure the tab was for 3-4 weeks in the hospital? $400,000, $500,000? So you had 20% out of that for something he didn't even have? That's special. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we don't have enough laws and enough enforcement to deal with people who don't want to be moral, I don't think. Do you?
No.
Yep. All right, bye,
Blue. I do have to say one other thing, though, sure. Chief, before we go. And that is, I think you're starting to drink the Kool-Aid again, because I heard you at least once, and I think twice during our conversation this morning, saying, "Here's the deal," which I think you're starting to fall into the Biden camp right now, or maybe it's just that you're looking for the power, whoever's the president.
You know what? You're the one that
some of their mannerisms.
You know what? You're the one who did that. You triggered that. And you know why? You started mentioning Notre Dame. One of my best friends from Notre Dame, he couldn't say three sentences without "Here's the deal." and guess what? He's an attorney.
Come on, man.
Just saying. SP Futures down 250. NASDAQ Futures down 178. Be right back, Mr. Joel O'Connor.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Everybody's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It keeps churning in my mind, Matty, how you guys managed to lose two games in single elimination.
It was the first time for everything.
That is very special. SP Futures down.
You know, I could have lied and said we won the first game. I wouldn't do that.
I thought those guys were going to forfeit to you. They already, but it's the third forfeit.
It's crazy. I know.
And SP Futures down 187. Well, if they played the second game, they couldn't have gone to the bar because the bars are closed. So I understand what they did.
Yeah.
God. Dow Futures, however, up 201. Now, if you go down the list of the Dow, Amgen's up $11. We've got Boeing up 7. Got Chevron up 2, and we've got Caterpillar up 170. That is the why Caterpillar had such a massive move to the upside yesterday. I have no idea, but they did. McDonald's up 1.5. JP Morgan up 1.40. We love the banks now all of a sudden. Anyway, very strange goings on in the market. Over in Europe, DAX, these guys were up last night, but not anymore. DAX down 2, so call it flat. FTSE up 75, 1.2, they are up. CAC around up 45.9, they are up as well. Over in Asia, Nikkei up 65 points. These guys opened higher and kind of settled back down. It's 0.2 to Shanghai, down 13.4%. Hang Seng, however, still up 285, 1.1%. Yesterday, just to let me know how crazy this was, Dow was up 834 after being up like 1,600. S&P was up 41 after being up 140. NASDAQ down 181 after being up at least 2-something. So it was like a 400-point turn on that thing. Just really unusual stuff. 10-year, 0.94, highest we've seen it in like a really long time. Bund actually making a little move towards up, but it's still minus 0.49. Japan, positive 0.02. Oil, which had a big move up yesterday, back up over 40, is up 23 cents again today, 40.52. Brent, 42.74, up 30 cents. I tell you what, if anybody thinks that this vaccine. It's a year away. All of a sudden, people start driving again next week. I don't know, but still, we're better off up. Natural gas, $2.89. RBOB, $1.16. Up another, up a penny today. We got gold, which is down heavy yesterday. Now is up reasonable today. But $21, $18.76. Silver up 44 cents, which a bounce there. $24.14 as the precious metals are all over the place because as interest rates go way up, well, up relatively, gold, the precious metals want to go down because you got to pay to store them, correct? But then, if you think it's going to cause inflation, then they want to go back up. So it's a tug of war there. Copper down 2 cents at 312. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Is there so much stuff in my end here? Have you ever heard this much news out of my end?
A lot of news. 39 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We are very quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. In fact, absolutely nothing to report. No delays, no accidents, no stalls, no significant construction. So enjoy a nice quiet Tuesday morning if you're heading into downtown. Weather today, we're going to have our first rain in quite some time. Storms in the area, but still warm. A high of 72, but rain in the forecast. Right now it's overcast and 67 going up to a rainy 72. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of just 66 today. So Chicago warmer than Phoenix for the second straight day. Right now it's clear and 44. In sports, Monday Night Football, the Patriots rallied back to beat the Jets last night, 30-27. Chief.
I was watching that game a little bit. These games, these teams that come back from being zero, you know, they're not all that horrible. I mean, the Jets, they got a few people back. They weren't that bad, at least last night. Joel, how are you, buddy? I'm so happy to hear from you. I was, after the Indiana game, I was worried about you. Just saying.
Well, congratulations to the Fighting Irish for defeating a Trevor Lawrence-less Clemson, but a victory is a victory.
Well, the other guy wasn't exactly a schlump, but no, he's no Trevor Lawrence either.
As far as Michigan goes, and I just keep my comments limited. The thing that bothered me the most, there's a lot of things that that bothered me, was seeing two Michigan men on the other sideline. Now, I'm not one of saying you got to have a Michigan man always coaching Michigan. But to see the offensive coordinator, Nick Sheridan, who was a QB under Rich Rod, and Mike Hart, who's the all-time leading rusher at Michigan, on Indiana, just tells me a couple things. And the primary things that it tells me is that Mr. Harbaugh can't get along with a lot of people. And I think just his demeanor, the way he acts, there's something that's telling me that he needs a change and Michigan needs a change. I doubt that's going to happen. But I'm more concerned over the direction of this team, the tackling, the defensive secondary, six offsides penalties in the first half. Just completely, just so foreign to me that it's just, I guess I said more than one thing, but that's where I stand. I don't know if you Michigan fans want to hear what I'm saying.
Well, I have a couple of
feel about it.
Couple of sort of specific questions. Couple of sort of. How's that?
Sure.
Is that even English? Okay. That's not even Southside. I went to a, I don't know if I mentioned this before in here, but I went to a Notre Dame club function years ago when I used to run the parties at the thing. Those Rockney dinners. They were going to give award to Tom Thayer. Well, Tommy ends up with some brutal 24-hour flu, right? So he can't make it. He sends Tomczak to pick it up, right? And Tomczak's, a decent guy from Ohio State. And he was saying that I had Tommy calls, and Tommy's the best guy, so sure, I'll come pick it up for you, even though it's a Notre Dame crowd. And he goes, well, if me with a problem, we didn't have a babysitter. He said, so the first thing I did, because Harbaugh was third string at the time, was called Jimmy Harbaugh. He does everything for everybody. Kids love him. He says, sure, I'll do it. He's over to, play Monopoly with the three kids. And he goes, he's the nicest guy that ever walked. Whatever happened to him? I mean, he obviously is nowhere near that guy today. What changed him? Almost he can't get along with his dog, for God's sake, now.
I don't want to speculate, I'll just say that, players in the NFL that play the number of years come up with different kind of, health conditions. So that's where I'll leave it at.
But, I mean, the man had a spectacular career at Stanford. He was one of the few guys of all the people that have tried it, Saban, Lou Holtz, you name it. He went into the pros and did even better there.
Yeah.
Back to his home in Michigan. It should be a lifelong job. He should be the Bear Bryant of Michigan. And all of a sudden he's not. And I just wonder, I don't feel that. It's not like I don't like the guy. Something's wrong. Something's seriously wrong.
Yep. That's the best way to put it. And let's talk. We're running a little bit late. Let's talk markets here
yes.
for a minute.
What, have you ever seen anything yesterday in the Nasdaq,
Chief? What you were those thoughts you were echoing exactly the way I feel. And it was a strange day yesterday. And if you want something even stranger, I don't know how closely you follow the 24-hour market.
I was doing it on the air yesterday morning, and we had a 400-point move during a break in the Nasdaq.
Right. No, I'm talking about last night.
Oh no, I did not. Please educate us.
If you were so inclined to buy yesterday's 24-hour low, you could have bought that last night. So the SPOOs basically made a round trip to 36.68 and came back and kissed the low from yesterday. So if you want a level and something to keep an eye on here for the remainder of the week, this 35.15 absolutely. For the market to do a round trip like that, I don't know. I think it's going to be hard to get back up to that area. I think a lot of people are like, oh, that was a blast off. Everything's fine. I don't know. That kind of technical reversal from yesterday. We'll see. I think it's going to be hard to get back up there.
Well, I'm going to say, Joel, I've been doing this a long time, as have you. The one way to trade at night where you're protected, and this is not, strategy or anything that I ask anybody to do, but you could buy, say you bought 10 options, calls and puts,
yep.
You bought the straddle, then you could be a trader of, two big spoos, right? So you could, when you went to sleep, you could say, okay, we're at 100, I'll be 80 bid for two and at 120 for two, and I'll sleep like a baby. Because if I get filled on either one, I've got the caller to put to cover me, right? I can't imagine trying to trade this without having some sort of protection behind you. But can you?
There's liquidity. You're talking about the S&P futures options, which are very expensive to trade.
Or the minis. But the NASDAQ, talking about a 400-point move yesterday during a break. What if you had just bought two? Good Lord. It didn't have any puts behind you. You can't. You're never going to make a 400-point profit. So you can't be in a position where you take a 400-point loss, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Joel, what do you think? Is this going to settle down? It's supposed to be settling down after the election. It sure wasn't settled yesterday.
No. I agree with you, man. It was a weird day, man. We'll see how things shake out.
Yeah.
There's always this wicked rotation into the bank stocks, into the value stocks, and out of tech. Now, is that going to continue? I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. But you need the big boys. You need your Apples, your Microsoft, your Amazons, your Googles, and your Facebook. You need them to go up. So this divergence here is going to be resolved. And
yeah, it's just,
we all right, got a lot not going on until the middle of January.
We'll talk to you next week, buddy. We'll have more to talk about. SP Futures right, down 7 now. NASDAQ Futures down 183. Be right back. Kenny Pulcheri.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Headed down to Pool of El Paso. I swear they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run.
Well, I'm up by Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Just met Weber on the board. SP Futures now down 515. NASDAQ Futures up one down 170. Dow, however, up 232. Most of that's because of Amgen up 11. We got Boeing up 7. CVX up 210. Goldman Sachs up 279. Kenny, this bleep is moving.
And so it is. But it's going to be one of those moves, I think, that, you know, certainly is going to come back to... I think people need to digest this news. It was caught everyone really, clearly it caught everyone by surprise. And I'm not even talking about the election news. Forget that. That really took the back burner last night. It was all about Pfizer. It was about the vaccine. It was about what that means for the quality of life, what that means for lockdowns around the world, what that means for, you know, work from home businesses, as we saw some of those names get slammed yesterday, versus what it means for cyclical and industrial and names that will benefit from a, you know, resurging world and a resurging global economy.
Kenny, I have to ask you a market mentality question. All right, people get, I'm going to say I won't beat up on it, but maybe I will. You get guys like Cramer.
Yeah.
And I remember 2000 all too well, unfortunately, even some of you know it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You get this market mentality as you looked at, in those days, the Ciscos of the world and the Oracles of the world, and they're trading 60, 55. Mm-hmm. You know, they're up there, and you get this mentality. No matter what the reason is, no matter what the fundamentals are, because they've been here for a while, they must be worth 55, 60. So any type of good news, you expect it to go even higher, right? And you'll say this will benefit 3M, this will benefit Caterpillar. Yet you look at the full numbers and you say, I don't care what benefits anything. How could we be better off than we were last February? I mean, I want the market to go up too. I have clients, but you look at it and you go, how can that even be that these companies are better? And I look at you've heard me talk before about the difference between collecting data and the household surveys and things like that. Or, I mean, the establishment surveys and looking at it like, say, savings for some people. Now, you've had this massive, what's his name was on yesterday? Drunkenmeier. And he was saying that the amount of money that the government has poured into the system, it shouldn't be that people look at the savings of somebody, because we just sent them all checks, as being a positive when the money came right from the Federal Reserve. The $1 trillion that's up in one place is down in another place. It's not like anybody earned the dough. So, my question is, could we be looking at some of these levels of some of these stocks and saying, well, gee, Snap should be 42, so if something good happens to Snap, it should go to 44, instead of saying, I look at the Snap, it was $10, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, not all stocks, I'm saying, but some of them, Zoom, some of those places that are 100 times revenue, for God's sake, just like they were in 2000. I mean, are we getting blind to the fact that some of these things are just really high? I mean, not everything. Go ahead.
Well, I think we are getting blind to the fact, which is why I think you saw, like, Zoom yesterday was down 30%
yeah.
in one day. Now, look, let's put it in perspective. It's up 630% since January, so it's
right.
ridiculously priced. They took it to a level that, you know, it's priced as if we were all going to be, you know, stuck in our homes for the rest of our lives, and we weren't going anywhere, we weren't living, we weren't doing anything. It was really ridiculous, but, you know, it was that mentality that drove that price. So was I surprised to see Zoom down 30%? No. Am I surprised to see if it goes down another 30%? Probably not. It doesn't necessarily mean that Zoom is a bad company.
No.
Zoom is a good company. But should it be trading at the levels like you just identified? Should it be trading at these ridiculous levels or valuations? Absolutely not, in my mind.
Well, you have to find a way that you have to be able to put down, I'll be old here, say on a piece of paper, you have to say, normally this stock would be trading $25, all right, and giving me a dividend of $2 or something, or $1.50, and making, you know, whatever. And now, but it's trading 100. Now, is it possible that in the next year it's a growth stock, that this thing could double or triple in revenue and whatever? The answer could very well be yes, Kenny. I mean, there's no doubt that's how companies start out. But when you reach a point where you go, I mean, how much more can Amazon really make to where the world is just going to go right their way? To where the dude's ever going to send me a check for $20 and like make you know $150 a year? I don't even see it. Do you?
No, I don't. You know, and it's really unbelievable. Like, look, when the last earnings season, when you saw Amazon, I mean, look at the money they made in one quarter, and they're only projected to go up. What were they projected to go over? $100 billion in the next quarter. And they just keep growing and growing and growing. Now, look, a lot of that was clearly driven by the condition that the world was in, people stuck at home, people not going out and all that
stuff.
But it does cause you to have to sit back and say, at what point is this ridiculous? And it's not that I'm saying it's like 99 and 2000 in the dot-com bubble, because it's very different. But remember, you and I both remember that frenzy, right? That, the way that those stocks are trading, the way a taxi driver in New York was talking about, he was suddenly a day trader trading dot-com stocks on NASDAQ. You know, that's when you knew it was the top.
Well, you know what? Where there was a similarity is the Fed was pouring money in then as well.
Yes. And so that's kind of the concern, right? The question is, you know, what's the next move by the Fed? Certainly we see central banks around the world continuing to ease, continuing to stimulate, continuing to pump money into the system. Certainly the Fed has pumped enough money into the system, but what's the next move? Are they set to pump more money into the system? And then where does that leave? You know, it's that same question, right? There's no alternative. Rates are zero. Where are people going to go that need to put money to work? They're forcing this trade, and you know, we keep talking about it. When it starts to unravel, you know, I shudder to think what that could look like.
Kenny, I have I don't know how I'm going to put this. This is a Chicago guy to a Boston guy. these guys have basically spent $7 trillion. And this is I'm in the 1600s, and my best friend Kenny, I keep taking him to the doctor, and he keeps bleeding him. And at one point, I got to say, Doc, you're not bleeding them anymore. I mean, these guys at $7 trillion, they are so anxious to be right here. And no matter what, they'll piss away another trillion or two. Someplace, somewhere, somebody's got to walk into that group and say, you're all out of here.
This, well, agreed.
Because they're not going to stop. They will not stop. They are convinced that this was the right thing to do. It was the only choice. And they're going to ride it till you and I are broke. They'll be fine. they'll be tenured professors somewhere. But somewhere you have to say, I mean, why are they buying? We've got the market up higher than it was when the pandemic started, for God's sake, and they're buying crap today or this month for $120 billion. What are they doing, Kenny?
I don't really know what they're doing. I don't have a seat at that table. I'd like to have a seat at that table, or at least I'd like to have one of them on this show so we could discuss it. Because you're right, what are they doing? And ultimately, who's going to be the one in the end to be left standing? And I think that's the, I think that's going to be a very interesting conversation as we move forward. And we're going to learn more now as we go through this, you know, change in administration and what's that really going to mean for policy and what's that going to mean for the Fed chair? Does he stick around? Doesn't he stick around? Who's next in place? What's his mentality or her mentality? And so I think, you know, it's as rosy as everyone felt yesterday. I think there are still some concerns on the clearly on the horizon. Doesn't necessarily mean you bail; just means you have to be aware right. of the conversations around you and position yourself accordingly.
Your co-contributor to CNBC, drunk. He said, and he goes, the Fed has put more money in the system in the last 6 months than they did in the entire 9 years under Bernanke and Yellen.
Right.
So. I'm going to ask how in God, look what happened in the end of 2018, the last quarter, when they tried to pull a little bit of this money back.
Yeah. The minute they tried to pull it back, the market went into panic mode. Every single time they suggested that maybe they were going to start to pull back or maybe they were going to start to withdraw the Kool-Aid. You saw what it did. The market went into a temper tantrum.
And
you know what? At some point, the market's going to have to just get over that temper tantrum. And if it falls, it falls. But at some point, and we know that you and I both know that, right? It can happen. It can happen out of the blue.
Yeah, but it's not. We're past the stage where we're just changing policy a little bit. Where the rates are going one way. We're talking about we're going to drain $3 trillion out of the system. God, Kenny, I don't know of an economy that's ever been good enough to withstand that.
Right.
But how do you even go about that? Is that the 100-year plan or the 200-year plan? What is that?
I'm not sure there's ever been an economy that's gone through that, right? We're making all these firsts, whether it's the first in the amount of money we use to stimulate, the amount of money that global central banks use to stimulate, and the first when we start to try to get out of this mess.
Yeah, I can't put enough. You and I won't be here.
I'm hoping I'm not around with.
Well, what did they say? You know what I want to do is I want to make it. Where are we? I want to make it to 20. Was it 2050? I don't think I can make it that far. But if I made it to 2050, that's when the European Central Bank said they'll be flat. I want to make it to that day and say, I want to make Maddie a huge bet that I'll take the under on that and I want to be alive to collect.
Listen, that's 30 years from now. I'll be 90. I mean, there's a possibility I could still be here, I guess.
I tell you what, if I am here, I still would remember my bet to Maddie Weber, even if it's the only thing I remember. Maddie, where's my $100? Where's my $100, you stiff?
In 30 years, Maddie Weber's going to be 50 years old, so he's still going to be young enough. He's probably sticking around until like 28.
Yeah, he'll be telling me that I'd love to come pay you, Chief, but you're in a nursing home and I can't come visit.
I'll be pushing up daisies, trust me.
Take care, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. SP Futures down 7, NASDAQ Futures down 191. Be right back, Mr. Jeff Joseph.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Low and unpaid stocks and jacks. After Molly, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures now down 875. Nasdaq futures down 193. Again, this has been a wild, wild couple of days, and it doesn't look like it's abating here. Pretty interesting, Manny, on the amount of bank stocks that were flying up yesterday. I mean, you look at the areas that have been sort of beaten down. Certainly, we're up on the day. And then we had the metals getting clobbered, and they're coming back this morning. So this is, if you can, you know, as crazy as it may seem, we're doing this violent stuff, but sort of in some kind of a range where if you're, you know, kind of a buyer at the lower end and a seller at the upper end, as long as you're protected, it's been working. But God, how do you, I mean, you need strong stones for that. I mean, it's really tough. I mean, we've been able to do some adjusting only because in our protected program, hence the name protected. I mean, you're just rolling stuff. You're not deciding whether you're protected or not. And it's really hard to do. I can't even imagine if, I mean, let's put it this way. I wouldn't want to be trading for anybody here unprotected, just saying I think we're going up now or we're going down now because, man, if you oopsie won for 400 points, man, how many good ones you got to make, not to mention what it does to your nerve in the meantime.
Right.
Hey, what'd you just find out about we're talking a little bit about how Indiana somehow has gotten I was surprised. I haven't watched an Indiana game since the one I went to when I was in college when they had one player, Quinn Buckner, and the rest of them were basically pairs of shoes. But now they look to me like if you were just watching the game to know who was who and who was supposed to be decent, it wasn't like the Michigan Lions were dominating or anything like that. Indiana, I mean, I would say their 22-man roster, if they showed up for practice in Indiana, Michigan, I mean, 11 of them start. I mean, it looked to me like they were pretty darn even, if in fact may have been a little better, which you never would have dreamed. And I know they've you know, had this Chicago connection a little bit because I get the Marist stuff and some of the better players at Marist, not just in football, but a couple of ladies, volleyball players and those kinds of people went to, Indiana. So there's a little bit. Plus you can get the tuition. I think they have the tuition complimentary thing with Illinois. You don't pay any more to go there as you do in Illinois where you gotta pay up for Wisconsin, I think. I'm not sure about Iowa when Manny comes back in.
I don't think you do at Iowa. I know you do at Wisconsin.
I don't think you do. Dan better pay up for my niece.
No, I said I know you do have to pay up
for
Wisconsin, yeah. I don't think you do at Iowa. I'm not sure about Indiana.
Indiana was one of the first ones now whether it's changed or not, they were the first ones where you got in-state back and forth. I mean, maybe that's changed because Illinois wants only people from overseas paying big dough. But do we have Jeff?
We do have Jeff, and Dan says you do have to pay up to go to Indiana, by the way.
Oh, you do? Okay,
yeah.
But it must have changed then. Maybe you have to pay up everywhere now. I mean, Jeff, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, Chief?
I'm doing fine, and I want you to explain all the stuff about the polls. I want you to explain all the stuff about the market and why the hell Indiana is better than Michigan now.
I caught the tail end of Indiana-Michigan. You're going to have to start there for me. I'm curious.
Well, I mean, with Manny,
what's the story there?
Well, let's talk about it for a minute because they've been getting better, and it always to me. I mean, this is in my. Let's spend a few minutes on it because it's fun to talk about. When the market's going to be the market. It used to be, I think, Jeff, that your Ohio State, Penn State was a latecomer, Michigan. To a certain extent, Michigan State really fought for all the players in that Eastern Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, which is an absolute cauldron of great football players. I mean, your Joe Montanas, your Joe Thales, people came from that area, right? And they would fight for all those guys. And once in a while, some coach would get better than the other. And Joe Pop essentially put Penn State on the map for year after year. He broke into that group, and they were They were terrific for how many years before they even got a bowl game, and then finally they got in the Big Ten. And yeah. the Irish always had this massive Chicago connection. Wisconsin pretty much stayed within the state, although they'd go get a few guys. Iowa would always pick a few good linemen out of the Chicago area or other places. And Illinois, you know, always had problems. I mean, they had some people, they had the Butkuses and those guys, but Notre Dame pretty much has lost their Chicago connection. And they basically, if you look at the guys like Tommy Thayer, who's the guy from played Hall of Famer from 49ers, went to Bloom, man, he tells his name. Defensive tackle. Spectacular player. He was a Notre Damer.
Was it Young or
Stubble? Yeah, Brian, yeah, Brian,
yeah, Brian Young.
Yeah,
right?
Those guys, I mean, Johnny Latners, I mean, George Conner, all those people from Chicago. He went from the Catholic League, he went to, but then Notre Dame, to be perfectly blunt, pissed off all the high schools. Where they'd show up and say, we want Jeff Joseph, to come play halfback for us, or lineman or whatever. And the guidance counselor would say, well, I can help you with Jeff, but gee, I got 10 people here, guys and girls, they're the top 10 in the high school, and they want to come to Notre Dame too. We're not interested in them, we just want your football player. Which, Chicago people being the way they are, they'd say, well, there's the door, basically. So they pissed off a lot of teams. So they really don't have that, you know, and they get a lot of guys. Plus, they got this routine now where they don't want people from close to home. They'd rather have people from California away from their buddies, Florida, those kinds of things. And now all of a sudden, Indiana's kind of filling that void a little bit, I think. And they're getting people that are good. I don't know if they're getting the 5 stars yet, but they're getting some 3s. And I think they maybe have gotten a 4 or 2. They've got a few halfbacks, running backs, show my age, that have been in the number one picks the last few years. All of a sudden, it's a little bit of a destination play. It's not just that they came out and won one game. I'm going to say this has been a 7 to 8 year changeover. Have you, Matty? Would you say I'm right?
To a certain extent. First of all, who would have thought? Indiana, just looking at their roster, they have 10 Chicago area guys at IU. Notre Dame only has 8 Chicago area guys.
Yeah,
who would have ever thought Notre Dame would only have 8 Chicago area guys? Notre Dame is completely nationwide.
Yep.
They've got from California to New Jersey and every state in between. They got guys from Hawaii. They've got guys from Florida. They've got guys from everywhere. They're just a national program now, and you know, they still have 8 Chicago area guys. Not like they have 0, but
it's not like they don't want the Brian Youngs or Tom Thayers.
But Indiana is interesting because, you know, they had a couple of decent years in the last 5 or 6 years, but they've really been a really bad team in the Big Ten for at least my whole lifetime, and I assume
way more than that.
Way longer than that, right? They've always been a basketball school, and that's just the way it is. And, their new coach, who took over in 2016, so I think this is his 4th year, Tom Allen, was a high school coach in the 90s in the state of Florida. And then I don't know if he's originally from Indiana or what, but in 1997 he moved to Indiana and became a high school assistant coach at a big high school in Indiana. And then he became a defensive coordinator, and then he became the head coach. And then he got into a small college and just kind of worked his way up. And then he went to Drake in Des Moines, and then he went to Arkansas State, and then he was at Mississippi as an assistant coach, and then South Florida as a defensive coordinator. And then he went to Indiana as the associate head coach and defensive coordinator, and then took over as the head coach the next year. And, man, they're recruiting the state of Florida, which I assume is partly because of his ties down there when he was a high school coach, because they got like 15 or 20 guys from the state of Florida.
Wow.
They got 10 guys from the Chicago area, and then they're getting some Indiana kids as well. And they're a top 10 team, and they look tough. And I don't know, you know, I mean, who knows how they're doing it. You always wonder with college coaches, but this guy appears to be the real deal, and all it takes is a coach that can recruit and keep guys together, and you can turn a program around pretty quickly.
Well, how much of it is, I mean, the Irish big recruiting thing for a while? I mean, obviously when it was, you know, 40 years ago, it was you went to a Catholic school here in Chicago. If you went to, you got an offer to ride to Notre Dame, that's where you went. I mean, right?
It was like done, yeah.
It was done. And, but how much of it is, but the big thing was you could see, your mom could watch you if you were from, or your dad, obviously, from California or Oregon, and they were on national TV. Right now, I mean, in Florida, if my kid goes to Indiana, I can buy the Big Ten Network and watch him, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder how much of that has helped.
I think that's helped tremendously, and that was a big reason why the Big Ten was the first of the big conferences to really roll out a quality network that has actually took hold. And that's why, you know, frankly, the only reason why they went east and added Rutgers and Maryland was to get that New York and D.C. market, knowing that they could recruit and sell folks on the fact that you can watch your kid on TV and then hopefully expand into those markets and make more money.
I got a real stupid question.
Even though Rutgers is a joke in the conference.
Real stupid question before we change topics, but I know when we go to the Tripoli and Nick has the Boston College game on, well, that he has the New England network, right? Whatever that is, because he gets the feed.
It's their version of like NBC Sports Chicago.
Okay, but he only can get that through Dish. He can't get that through regular cable. So in Florida, is the Big Ten network available on a Florida cable?
I assume it's going to be similar, where there's going to be certain packages that will carry it and some that won't. So you may have to go to Dish or something like that.
Dish or DirecTV.
Or a streaming service.
Actually, he's got DirecTV because DirecTV is everything.
And most of the streaming services now, for people that cut the cord, you can go to a sports tier and you'll have everything. SEC Network, ACC Network, Big Ten Network.
Okay. All right, Jeff, explain to me the 400-point moves in the NASDAQ yesterday, bud.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out Indiana's game. They haven't been fun to watch, though.
Yeah.
You know, how about it? I mean, Penix, I think, is his name.
He's a stud.
Running back?
Yep. Okay. Yep, he's really good. He's really fun to watch, and he's young. And he's one of those guys like a Tariq Cohen type where you can kind of plug him in anywhere and you just want to get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff,
yeah,
just...
And they're having a running game, too, which is, you know, that's half the battle right there. You know,
Jeff, we all went down to a game there when I was a senior, so a long time ago. You could bring a cooler full of beer into the game because nobody went. And we had one ticket, and one guy had his fist full of the stubs. He held them up, and everybody said, the guy behind's got all the tickets. He got in front. These are all stubs. Here's my ticket. We were all gone. Of course, the tickets were like $8, so we could have afforded them. But it was a good game. I mean, Quinn Buckner almost pulled it off. He was playing both ways. He had to be one of the last. Who's the last guy to play both ways in the Big Ten? It was the guy Keyes, wasn't it, on Purdue? But Quinn Buckner was right before him.
I didn't even know that. And not to mention, he was a much better basketball player.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, he had problems because, everybody that used to do that. But his football playing weight was like 220. His basketball playing rate was like 185. So he's a pretty big kid. But to lose 35 pounds in like 3 weeks to play basketball is not easy to do.
No, it probably took him a while to get into basketball conditioning, which is different too.
We used to play at the Rock with all the guys from Notre Dame that were on the football team. And one of the guys was a All-American cornerback. And he came to play basketball like his first day after the bowl game. And I had him gas going up and down the floor. I mean, it's just different.
It is.
I mean, I didn't belong on the football field with him, but it took him about 2 days though, and he wasn't gassed anymore. He was outrunning me, but I mean, it is different. I mean, you know, that constant running back and forth. You don't do that in football. Pretty much.
No.
Well, to close the circle though on your question at the outset, they must have increased their overall visibility too, or maybe it's a vicious self-actualizing circle, because I went to take my daughter, who's a freshman now at IU, or University of Illinois. I took her to a Big Ten recruiting conference about 9 months ago, a year ago, and by far, and all the schools were represented, of course, but for some reason, Indiana had it's like walking in the conference, they were Google, you know, they had the premier spot, they had the premier location. They had the most attendance. They were the most visible,
really?
at this conference in every possible way, in terms of location and proximity to where you want to be. And they just seemed to have the best buzz. So they must have the recruiting in general, not just their sports recruiting. That seems to have stepped up a lot. They get a little kick in their step now because of their business school, which is certainly achieving good
Jeff, do they have any extended business school storefronts, for lack of a better term, up here? I mean, Notre Dame has a spot or two.
I know Notre Dame, of course, is right over 224 South Michigan in terms of...
I think they got one of the burbs, too. Or at least they used to.
Right across from the Art Institute, they actually own that big old Burnham building. But I don't know about Illinois or Indiana.
Is one of the gentlemen who got a quote from one of my, when I used to write my columns before we were on the air every day, he took a quote out of one of the columns, and it was, so if you Googled morality in the markets, I popped right up as saying, this is before the...
Pop up when morality in the markets...
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought?
Well, it had to do... I had a quote in there. One of my
what does that tell you, Matt?
Well, it had to do with when 2008, when Bear Stearns and all his place went out of business. That was 2000. Uh-huh. And I said, look, nobody buys $10 puts on a Thursday on a stock that's trading 32 or expiring Friday unless they know something.
Right.
I mean, what would possess you to do that? Anyway, so I went and saw the guy who had it on his test. And he said, you make more money. The people that are paying $6,000 a year for these extended MBA classes, he goes, your marginal cost is like $500 per student. He's making a fortune on having those people.
Sure.
And anyway, so Jeff,
what is what they're realizing now with so that basically was pre-Zoom.
Yeah.
That was a low-tech version of Zoom. Now look at the profitabilities of these universities, except for the fact that they still have all these tenured people on their payroll, but they don't have to. They're not paying custodians. There's nothing going on campus. There's none of the buildings are really open.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, a lot of those are
margin now, and they're delivering far less. Yet they're charging the same.
You know? I think a lot of those people, Jeff. I don't know how many of them, but I'm going to say that a lot of those are endowed professorships. They don't pay them. The endowment does.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, what went on with the polls, bud? You are a poll man, and your name after Tuesday was bandied about like that.
Coming up this week on our podcast, on the Political Trade podcast, we actually have a guy named Harry Crane, who's he's a professor. I forget where he's a professor. I'm just blanking right now, but that's all he studies is polling versus prediction markets, and he's coming to us exclusively to release this report about the how well the polls actually performed relative to the prediction markets, although I guess we already know how they did poorly, right? I mean, the Real Clear polling average had Biden at an aggregate 6.8% vote total. We know that won't remotely come close. It's somewhere a little bit over 3%. It will be the final, vote total. The Economist was way off. 538 was way off, and invariably the polls performed extremely poorly again. And and the layman can look at this and say, well, they learned nothing from 2016 because the polls were just so far off. And it was a Quinnipiac poll, right? That was almost off in every state. The state level elections were by far the worst, and the worst polling occurred there. The final poll in Wisconsin that had Biden up 17, or the Quinnipiac poll that had him up 4 in Michigan, or had him up 4 in Florida when they lost Florida essentially by 4. So the swings were wild from what the polling had indicated. And listen, there's been enough analysis of it since then and prior, before the election, we did have Robert Cahaley on from Trafalgar Group. He's really earned his stripes. He's become a celebrity in the last couple weeks, for sure. I think we were the first people to have him on. But since then, he's been on everybody. He's been all over CNN. He's been all over.
Don't you hate it when that happens, when you get somebody?
Megyn Kelly show. And the Trafalgar Group is his polling group, and he's the guy who promoted the notion of the shy Trump voter. He was derided because he was accused to be a conservative pollster, which he found offensive because he said if you're a conservative pollster or a liberal pollster, that just means you're going to be a bad pollster and you're not going to be working too many cycles if you have a political bias, because there's nothing more egalitarian than the polling community. Either you perform or you don't. Your designation is the result of your outcomes and not your biases. So he was always offended by that notion. He was just saying, look, there's something here called the social desirability bias. It's taught everywhere. It's been identified in the past. Initially, it was called the Bradley effect back in that 92 election with Mayor Bill Bradley, where he was thought to be the sure winner, but he wasn't. He was a black American, and people were not being truthful when being polled about his prospects. That was called the Bradley effect, because he underperformed what everyone thought was going to be a sure win. Later on in the UK, that was called the Shy Tory effect, and it had impact in two major elections where the conservative vote was miscounted because those voters weren't being forthright and truthful with the pollsters. And then he said it existed in 2016, which is why he was the only pollster who nailed the electoral count outcome, and then again in 2018 in the midterms where he had some distinct successes. So he carried that forward into this polling cycle, and he was and the bottom line was he was the outlier. If Real Clear Politics and 538 were the kind of standard bearers, he was 3 to 4 points below each one of them in his total forecasts and predictions, which, to keep it very simple, turned out to be exactly right. That was pretty much the differential between the entire polling community and where the votes actually end up coming out. So, and he was the only guy that was really correcting for the shy Trump voter, and what that means is changing his polling approach and mechanism to try to identify these voters who essentially were not being truthful with pollsters. And his whole methodology was geared around identifying them and trying to quantify them. So, I think that is the inescapable bottom line. You're right, we look at this very, very closely, and going to have another voice on later on this week that's going to delve deep into the data and the numbers. But invariably, I know that's going to be an essential component of the conclusion, is that there were shy Trump voters that were not being truthful in their polling, and that the polling companies made little or no effort to recognize and try to correct for.
Jeff, I have a much more simplistic view of this, which I'm not sure actually is wrong. You can tell me it is, because you're more the expert on this. But we actually did a little poll when I was in. We had a 72. I was a sophomore. There was an election, and we had a mock convention a whole bit, and we actually did try to do some polling. So it seems when you go back years, I'm not saying Andy Griffith here, but your landline and your address, you were connected somehow to a district, and most people maybe they didn't appreciate it all that much, but the phone call that came over the landline, at least you were in the right spot. Okay, they knew where you were. You didn't get a question about a representative in Outer Mongolia. At least they asked you a question about your guy who was running. And you may or may not be truthful, but you would say, I'm for Joe, I'm for Jim or Jenny, or I'm undecided. And people were very quick to say, I'm undecided, I haven't decided. And maybe that would be the shy voter you're talking about now. And yet, they're still doing a random survey of those people, because we did it at Notre Dame, and everybody was in the phone book in the dorm you lived in, right? So we'd grab 25 names, and the difficulty in getting those 25 people, even though you knew when everybody was at lunch and stuff, and you'd show up at their room, and it was hard to do even when you knew where everybody was. But if you called somebody on their dorm phone, they didn't mind talking to you for 2 minutes, and they would say, well, I'm from McGovern, I was for this, or I'm undecided, type of thing. Well, when you get all that out, right now, I know me personally, I just got a landline because I needed one again, if somebody calls me on my cell phone, like, I'm outraged because I don't want them calling me on my cell phone. It's like my business phone, right? Nobody has a landline. So when you pull this whole rug out from underneath the system, I don't know how you replace that, Jeff. Because even if you could, but this time if you were to say, well, there's 52% for Biden, 48% for Trump, and it's 4% undecided, you could say that in 2016, it looks like the 4% undecided really were 3.5% for Trump. At least you'd have some mm-hmm. oar in the water. But now,
well, that's still what they do. They still take the undecided and apply a calculation and disperse them.
But I'm saying, how do you get to me now? where I'll actually answer this question.
Well, now, you know, listen, and that's the irony. You kind of hit on one of the major problems, which, you know, these big polling companies, my God, they really got a lot to figure out because they were just so far off. But you're right, the gold standard, and if you ask Nate Silver over at 538, which somehow continues to get this kind of this godlike validation from the media, he'll tell you that live calling is the gold standard. He'll say that invariably. Yet at the same time, when you ask him, well, that means you're dealing with a materially reduced constituency pool because, as you said, nobody has live lines anymore. He doesn't really have a solution for that. He just says that's the gold standard in polling. But what's made up the difference, it's been a number of other areas. It's been text surveys, email-based surveys, IVR, interactive voice response, that now has made up a big part of the survey difference. And people, and even though they do something towards addressing the anonymity that's required to get a proper response, because if there is a shy Trump or shy anyone voter, it's anonymity that is the antidote to that. But how can you be anonymous when you've been contacted on a phone that's ringing, you know, in your home or in your hand? So that's what the polling is struggling with in a big way. And the reason this guy Haley was so far out in front of it is because he's been working on that methodology for many, many years and actually acknowledged it. It became, you know, I mean, people are just so foolish and binary and hateful and willing to fight about anything. So when you have a guy saying that there's a shy Trump voter, that immediately, you know, received a chorus of haters and who tried to invalidate his methodology. But he by far was the guy who shined this year. And again, I don't know why that would be political, but that's what it became.
Jeff, is there
his methodology found a flaw? He corrected for it because that flaw wasn't within the chorus of you know a larger political narrative. He was really berated, but now, of course, he.
Well, Jeff, I would say that if
set up well.
Yeah, given this world of political correctness, if minorities running against a white guy, most people are going to say they're voting for a minority, even if they're not. It's the same. It's the Bradley effect.
Yes, exactly.
I have a real stupid basic question from you and Maddie. Is there such a thing as a directory for cell phone numbers? I mean, if somebody has my name, can they find... I mean, it used to be that businesses knew that if I knew your address, I could put the address in and get your home phone line. So you could get it. You could
get it's called Google.
Well, what I'm saying, I don't know. I mean, I'm saying there is no directory. You can't Google Tom Howe and up pops my cell phone, can you?
No.
I don't think there is. Is there anything that links my cell phone to my address?
It's actually, there's a great question underneath all that because I wonder, you know, so a couple of people do have that data. Google, of course has that data. It's one of the reasons they're in the hardware business. Apple has it as well. But I don't think, I am not aware of cell phone data being available for
I don't think there's a connection to my address
purposes.
Either. Anyway, SP Futures down 6, NASDAQ Futures down 170. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Jeff Joseph with us. Manny, we moved like 8 points of these foos during break. The break wasn't that long. S&P futures now down 11.50. They were like 4 when we went to break. Make that 12.50. NASDAQ futures now down a full 200. Dow up like 165. As individual stocks, the Dow are still up. We've got Amgen up 9. We've got Boeing up 5. We've got Goldman Sachs up 2. Home Depot up 3. Home Depot got whacked yesterday. Well, the only stock in the Dow that was. So this stuff is, I don't know, crazy stuff's happening here for sure. DAX up 29.2%, FTSE up 82, 1.3%, CAC around up 50.9%. Not sure why those guys are up so much, but they are. Nikkei up 65.2%, Shanghai down 13.4%, Hang Seng up 285, that's a full 1.1%. So each market's trying to figure this out on their own. Again, yesterday we ended up really, Dow up 834, it had been up 1600. Yeah, 1600. It was almost 3%, it was up over 5. NASDAQ up, was down 181, that's 1.5%. They were up, I'm gonna say 2-something at one point, so they made a spin of about 400 points. S&P up 41, it was up, I'm gonna say 120 at one point. Matter of fact, the SPY was up $16 and finished up 485, so I mean, it was really quite the day, all over the place. Bonds are now unchanged at 0.95. The bond up 2 basis points to minus 0.48. It's been minus 0.6465 for anybody who's listening every morning knows I've been drawing on that for months now. And now all of a sudden it's moved up 16 basis points. Japan positive 0.02. That hasn't really gone anywhere in quite a while. Oil up 13 cents, 40.42. Had a big run up yesterday. Brent up 27 cents, 42.67. These guys were down to like 35 hours oil. So we're talking about a 12-15% move in the last couple of days. Natural gas, 289, RBOB 116. You really got to remember kind of where we came from. Gold up 21 bucks to 1876. Now careful with this, because it was 1950 like 3 days ago. It got hammered yesterday. But silver is bouncing back 47 cents, 24.17. Copper down 4 cents, but still at 311. That's pretty high. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We've been quiet all morning as far as the area expressways, roadways, and tollways are concerned. And it looks like we're still quiet. If you're heading in on the Kennedy, you'll reach a little bit of a slowdown as you approach Division heading into the circle, but nothing of significance there. Edens looks good, as does the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. No issues out in the suburbs either as far as the tollways are concerned. We did have a rollover dump truck on southbound LaGrange Road just past I-55 that happened just a little bit ago. Traffic is getting by, sharing the ramp from the northbound I-55 to the southbound LaGrange Road. And that's how you're squeezing by there. We actually tweeted a picture out of it, but the crews are on the scene getting that cleaned up. That's the only area of concern. Everything else quiet out there. Weather today, clouds early, some rain in the forecast. Still warm temperatures, but kind of a crummy day as far as lots of rain out there. A high of 72. Right now it's cloudy and 68 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, cool down in Phoenix for the second straight day. Partly cloudy skies with a high of just 66. Right now it's clear and 45. In sports, this just came across the wire last night, Chief, and we saw it, or I came across it this morning. Chicago White Sox manager Tony La Russa, who was just hired, obviously, a week or two ago, apparently was charged with driving under the influence while he allegedly ran his car into a curb, and this was back in February, and the DUI charge came the day before he was hired. So the incident was back in February in Phoenix, but the charge actually came the day before he was hired. White Sox say they were aware of the incident, but it just was released to the public last night. So not good. That's the second known DUI for Tony La Russa. Of course, everyone remembers the 2007 incident where he fell asleep at the stoplight and was there for who knows how long until a cop came across him down at spring training. Lastly, Monday Night Football, it was the Patriots coming back to beat the Jets 30-27. Chief.
I still can't imagine that hire, but so what's going to happen if Ricky Renteria gets manager of the year, Jeff?
That would be hilarious.
He's a finalist, right? How many finalists are there?
He's a finalist. I think Ross is actually a finalist too for the Cubs.
Who else?
David Ross for the Cubs is actually a finalist too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's maybe five guys, and I'd say Renteria has just as good of a chance as anyone.
Is there one per league or one total?
I think it's one per league. Yeah, I think it's AL Manager of the Year, NL Manager of the Year.
So you think there's five finalists in each league?
Or they announced either three or five finalists in each league, something like that.
Jeff, is the announcement of the Pfizer thing, has the announcement and the hype, the more I read about it, by the way, I am absolutely hoping that they are correct, that we can start doing some stuff with this. And then if you looked at the Lilly thing that happened last night, that Lilly has now got approval to use antibody treatments on people. Jeff, I've been talking about these since April because that's what was used in 1918. It was being used in Japan by May. And all of a sudden here there was a big resistance to use it, even though, you know, and now all of a sudden... I mean, I don't want an umpire giving me any calls. I don't want him taking any away. I just want him to do his job. All is happening within 3 days after the election. As much as I'm a Trump can't stander, you can't tell me that there isn't something going on here.
Well, I think we'll find out. You could clearly come to that conclusion, but. I think there's not enough evidence to support it yet. It sure looks coincidental and fishy. There's no question about it. And, you know, you could identify motive for it, too. I mean, say, you know, now that we're out of hype and spin, the fact of the matter is that Trump went aggressively after the pharmaceutical companies, particularly over the last 60 days, or over the last 6 months, excuse me, with respect to drug prices. And he didn't make any friends there, and I wouldn't be the least surprised if the CEOs of those companies don't find him to be their favorite candidate. So you can make the case for it. And by the way, while we're chatting, I used your break to get a little bit of work done. I wanted to clarify something I said right before the break, which was actually wrong. I texted our marketing person and just wanted to clarify, and he said, yes, of course you can buy cellular phone lists with names. I know that you could buy lists because it's done all the time of cellular data with demographic data, like according to a specific target market. But he said no. You absolutely that there's hundreds of companies that sell mobile phone data, including the names of the people who own them. So that's why, of course, you get all these these calls, you know, on your cellular phone, marketing calls, but there's nothing unusual about that at all.
Can they tie you to your address?
Companies selling that data.
Can they tie you to your address?
Yes. Zip code data, demographic, geographic demographic. I don't know down to your specific address, but I know zip code and area code for certain.
So if I take my 312 number,
I've seen those lists.
All right, so if I take my 312 number and I go to Florida, they're going to know I'm now in Florida?
I guess eventually,
Well, if I start getting a bill down there, probably,
Come on, everything is known.
I know these guys are good,
surprised about it. I just was surprised, and he said, no, of course you can't. I was surprised that the cell phone data list sales included the names of the owners, but he said absolutely, unequivocally, and it's standard practice.
So you talk about the drug manufacturers. What I've been reading about this Pfizer thing, and I'm really hoping these guys are right, I see no peer review. They're talking about 64 people, and when we've got the Health and Homeland Secretary already saying this is the best thing since sliced bread, we've got people that are...
Hey, this is science. What are you saying?
Yeah. So let me ask you. You just mentioned that Trump didn't ingratiate himself. Now, does that mean that we'll never get a drug price decrease under Biden? And what if, say, for instance, Jeff, there was an anomaly and somebody from outer space just put Jeff and Chief down as the and the write-ins on every one of these these ballots next time, and you and I end up in the Oval Office wondering how the hell we got there. And the first time somebody like from Pfizer, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, say from a big drug company, buys a smaller company making generic drugs and triples the price within like the next day. And you and I are dumb enough to actually read the Sherman Act and send three or four local policemen over and say we want the entire board coming out in handcuffs because this is a felony. How do you think that would go over, like a fart in church or what?
Yeah, well, there's a new book out called Monopoly Sucks. Monopolies Suck. And it's by a woman, Matt, your last name's Stoller, right?
Oh, he's Matt Weber.
Matt Weber, right. I'm sorry, I always confuse the two. In fact, Matt, in the past I've sent you emails that were intended for him. It's from this this group that does... Matt Stoller, I forget the name of the group, but they look at trade practices and monopolistic behavior. And she wrote a book that is really worth reading, exactly on that topic.
How do you get big enough? Talk about poor Tony La Russa with his DUI. How do you get big enough to where the rules don't apply to you? I want to get there. Actually, I don't want to get there, Jeff, because I think...
All right, well, first of all, I'm sympathetic, because exactly, I didn't know this story, but what Matt just described, that exact thing happened to me as an undergrad at Northwestern University in Evanston. I fell asleep in a convertible about 2 o'clock in the morning while driving, moderately under the influence, coming back from Howard Street to my fraternity. I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning in a convertible with the motor running at a stoplight, surrounded by police cars, and that was my first and only DWI, they used to call them then, driving while intoxicated. So that was
unfortunately, it
was well over 40 years ago. But
one of my buddies, this was a different world, Jeff. One of my buddies was heading back to his place in Palatine, and so this guy pulls him over, and he goes, "Son, you've been drinking." "I'm not going to lie, officer. Yes, I have." He says, how far is home? And he goes, "It's still like another 3 miles." "Ah, that's too far. Here's a shopping center. Pull in." "Okay, give me your keys." He goes, "I'll be back in 4 hours. Give me your keys back. Go to sleep." that doesn't happen today. But he never...
No.
But I tell you what, he learned a lesson from it, and the lesson was for him, because he's a regular person, the lesson was as good as jail, you know. So, I'm saying, this whole thing now that this is all accepted. We've had this morning. I'm going to say if this happened last Monday, the election might have been different.
It's possible. So, by the way, I haven't had a chance to listen in. What are your takeaways from the election?
I think there were gains and there were losses, and I'm really surprised. I mean, the idea. I just hope that Joe Biden doesn't declare a mandate, because I don't think he got
one. Oh, it's funny you mentioned that. That's one of the first things I repeal to, and I've heard him mention that phrase a couple times, and clearly there's no mandate. But what else?
Well, I just the idea that you have a guy and I have a lot of Trumpsters around me. I'm surrounded by him, which is fine. But you know what, Jeff? As I've moved to the middle, I think you sense the difference in how I think. In some ways, I listen more to why people think the way they think than what their conclusion is. And I find I learn a hell of a lot more than just saying, that person likes Trump, he must be an idiot because Trump's an idiot. I mean, the idea that they honestly feel, with all his warts, I mean, nobody doesn't describe the man as not having a bunch of warts, that he was one guy who would stand up for them against the people who they absolutely can't stand. The guys that are co-opted, the people that go to Washington as regular people and come out 10 years later as multimillionaires, and the big companies just keep getting bigger and bigger and just keep running over everybody. And that 50% of the people in this country absolutely feel that way. And you know what? You can't say that there's no reason why they feel that way, Jeff. Now, in my thought on Trump from day one was, I love the idea of Trump. I just wish it was anybody but him, because he couldn't pull it off. And I feel horrible that he blew a chance of a lifetime. Somebody actually come in from the outside, but instead of taking people to home, to, you know, Camp David and saying, look, here's what I want to do. Here are the five things I want to do. Here we're talking about drug prices. We're talking about this, and here's how I'm going to do it. Instead of, you know, catching flies with honey, he kept using a sledgehammer. And all he did was piss people off that even started out maybe even liking the guy. And you can't do that. And yet, now in my lifetime, we're going to have what? Another, you know, five Joe Bidens while I'm still here, hopefully. And with guys that just have their head firmly up to the ass of these big companies that have never done anything. Do you think these pharmacy companies are afraid of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris? I mean, she's so worried about telling people what a spectacular thing it is that she's Asian, black, and female. For God's sake, there's all kinds of Asian, black, and female. But I don't want any of them president. There's a lot of guys that I know that I really think are terrific. I'm playing center field on my softball team. They can't run. I want the most talented people in the spot, and I want them I want the government to be as strong as these companies, and it's not going to happen, Joe. And I just, we're right back in the morass. We had a guy who's been there for 40 years, did nothing, created no waves, and now he's in there. Which isn't to say he might not do a good job. He might do a pretty good job. He probably has things he wanted to do differently from the other people all the years he was there and never had the power, and now he does. So I really hope he surprises me. But I don't see any change there, do you?
No. I pretty much agree with everything you say. I didn't really have a dog in this hunt. You know, I wouldn't have voted for either of those two people if they were the only two candidates out there, which they were,
yeah,
unfortunately. And that's my bigger complaint, is that the third party's just should have had such a big year this year, considering these deeply, deeply flawed candidates, yet the third parties, you know, really have nothing to show for what was probably their best opportunity in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
It's a complete shame. But I, the only thing I would feel good about is that, you know, we rejected his character and personality.
Yes.
Agreed. That means less to me than policy and shaking things up and making noise.
But in the end, it mattered. In the end, though,
but Jeff, as you said, it was the wrong. He was, you know, he was such a bad person that's the only bright spot I see. From a policy standpoint, I'm not excited about this at all. But I am pleased with the fact that a man who at every point made the decision to go bad and go low instead of go high, to use Michelle Obama's words, that he was rejected. And that's the only upside.
I've been doing a lot of research, as you know, and I got my next shot when I get some time. I'm totally weak when it comes to the Revolutionary War stuff, and I have to believe that George Washington was the most spectacular person that ever lived, and I got to dig into that, which I've never done. That's my next project. But I look at two people in the 30s, actually three people in the 30s, that became the people in the world that we knew of. One was Churchill, one was Roosevelt, and one was Hitler. And two of the three, with the big mess that was on in this country, with the big mess that was in Germany at the time, grabbed hold of radio and talked directly to the people in an intelligent manner. Hitler did this too. In an intelligent manner that nobody else could compete with, and he jumped all these other parties. I mean, you think Trump had problems with the press. I mean, what do you think Hitler had problems with 15 other parties, most of them wanting his neck, right? In terms of problems, getting the job, I'm going to say Hitler had a tougher time than Trump. Just saying, you know. I'm not a fan, obviously, but I look at what made people move forward. I won't say successful, move forward, is that Roosevelt brought his message to the people, and there wasn't going to be anybody who followed him afterward because he spoke right to people, used common sense, used language that they understood. There wasn't anybody who wanted to come on after him and say he screwed up. And Trump could have done that on 100 occasions, never did. He could have come on with a blackboard and, you know, going back to a school in the city, put a blackboard up there. Here's what we know about the COVID. Here's what's happening. This is this, and this is why I feel like the way I do, and there's where I am. He never once did that. Never once said that about prescription drugs. Here's 15 combinations in the last year. And oh, by the way,
that's right.
Every single one of them, the price has tripled. I want to go after these guys. It has nothing to do with the fact that I don't like them, that I don't like the press. It has to do with that we have a law that says you can't do that, and they did. I mean,
he ended up, because of this, and it's completely true, he ended up losing you. I think the data has been the most interesting thing from the election, and that is he clearly had a material uptick in black vote,
yep,
in the Asian vote, and in the Hispanic vote.
Yes.
And when you look at all the sectors, the one place where he had a discernible loss was the white male vote.
Yes.
And that, first of all, that it's profound in terms of thinking of the political map and coalitions and the championing of intersectionality as a campaign strategy among the Democrats and liberal progressives, and what it says about that. But it's just an amazing fact that the racist, right, just picked up all the minority support in a meaningful manner, and he lost the white male vote. So when you look at that, that means he's got no one to blame but himself.
I would absolutely agree. So, he shot himself in the foot, even when his message was right and his instincts were right. He managed to somehow dribble on himself.
Hey, Matt, can I ask what your takeaways are?
He's in conversation about. So what do you, by the way, your buddy that you confuse with Matt Stotler, is his name?
Yeah.
Did he ever manage to lose two softball games in a single elimination playoff?
Well, how do you lose two in a single elimination playoff?
They lost the first game after leading most of the way. They were kicking these guys' butt, and these guys came flying back and killed them in the end. They had a game at 8 o'clock, and the second round was at 10 o'clock. So they tell the umpire, we have no interest in sticking around for the 10 o'clock game. We're out of here. So the ump says, hey, do you guys want to go play the 10 o'clock game like if you won? And they go, yeah. So they went and lost the 10 o'clock game, too.
Oh, God.
I would have loved to play. I love the play, so I would have been happy to do that if I was there. But who knows? Maybe next year, Jeff. I might try a year working out at the club. I might just be back out there next year. You never know. At least catching or pitching. Hey, I got a question for you. And it's funny how, I mean, Trump to me is the absolute, you know, liar like I've never seen. I mean, he just rambles on. But you know, other people's views of that. If you talk to people in the middle class, which I'm sure you do, I mean, some of these are my girlfriend's friends and so forth. If you were to say, Trump, God, you can't believe a word the guy says. And they'll look you right in the eye and they'll say, no, you can't. You name me a politician that I could ever, on any substantive issue, I could ever believe once that didn't lie to me. He's no different. He's liable to lie that it's sunny out when it's cloudy out, which most guys at least don't. But he says on any substantive issue, there has not been one that ever has not lied to me. There's been people that are lowering drug prices for 35 years now, and they go up every single year. Another year this year, I had this out, I don't know if you listened last week, Jeff, Social Security's going up what, 1.3%. The Medicare's stealing 0.3% of that, and drug prices are up 5.3%. The published ones, not even the ones that were generic and aren't anymore, just the published prices are up 5.3%. So explain to me exactly how our population is going forward with any of these bumps. They aren't. I'll answer my own question, which I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
I mean, so every number you look at, everything you look at, there's no reason. I'm not going to. If you were to say these people, again, a lot of them are close to me, like Trump, I'll fight that as much as you can with people to my dying day. But the reasons why they like him over the other guy, I can absolutely not dispute at all. So do you think for a second?
Well, they should like him. Listen, they're reeling from the loss, but when they look back, you're going to see three Supreme Court justices appointed. You're going to see a pickup. Talk about the polls, right? Which were you saw a Republican pickup, almost threatening control in the House.
Yeah,
which was not remotely, called for in the polls. And then that certainty of the Senate at final. Right before election 538 had Senate control, the Democrats at 66%. That's not going to happen.
I don't know. I think they might win both of those in Georgia.
Or in Georgia, excuse me.
I think they might win both of those.
So those are, that's quite an accomplishment. And I already, if I were to make a prediction now, and we're working on the next issue of Luckbox is a prediction and forecasting issue. So, I'm going to make mine. I think you see a midterm sweep coming for the Republicans that they take the House back.
I wouldn't be. Jeff, thank you very much. As usual, great stuff. S&P Futures down 950, NASDAQ Futures down 150. But I'm not so sure it's going to end that way. It sure didn't yesterday. Be right back tomorrow morning, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.